Inoho, please be seated. Not sure where we're at. Oh, no, I know. Mr. Winchester's questions, yeah.
Thank you, ma'am. I should just preface the commencement of questions with, I suppose, a degree of concern that some council have about the potential for prejudice of parties who are not here today.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I agree.
Yes, in that what is essentially appears to be before the court is a drafting option proffered by counsel. And obviously Mr. De Pelsmaker has given evidence about what he would do with that drafting option. I guess I'm just signalling that as soon as we start cross-examining on Mr. De Pelsmaker on that, we potentially create prejudice for parties not here. And I'm thinking of possibly Mr. Welsh.
Yeah.
And I know it's possible to simply characterise this as yet another drafting option before the court. I suppose what I am signalling is that I prefer not to cross-examine Mr. De Pelsmaker if it can be clarified that he simply abides by his evidence as per the statement of evidence in reply and the JWS, the JWS is before the court. That, of course, is my position, and I suspect that my learned friend, Ms. Irving, may not have exactly the same position in terms of willingness not to cross-examine.
Well, okay, so I don't understand that Mr. De Pelsmaker has seen counsel's suggested amendments, or had seen them in detail.
Yes.
And so he may very well simply prefer the evidence that he's already given on this topic and would prefer it to remain there. And if that's the case, Mr. De Pelsmaker should say so.
Yeah.
As with other options which have been advanced by other parties, and say, for example, Mr. O'Rourke's class is a clear example of this. So Ms. Dicey advances a discretionary policy and rule which the court has accepted, considered. Drafting's not perfect, as revealed in cross-examination, but if it had merits, we would take it back to the office, assess it. If it has merits and wanted to pursue it, then we would probably put that out as an interim. Was how we have been approaching virtually every other party. And I suppose Mr. Welsh was the party to first step aside from that and say, oh, but here are some corrections that we could pursue. Then TAs have done that and attempted to do that through cross-examination but didn't get very far, and I asked Ms. Irving, what have you got in mind? And it probably opened it up from there. So what can you do? If Mr. De Pelsmaker sticks with his original evidence, that's fine, and the court can take this and reflect back to parties, make some very basic observations about this drafting approach, and reflect that back to parties. And if there is something to be saved, then the court can release an interim and on that basis have parties comment on it. But, you know, it's problematic. So how do you want to proceed? Because we actually have been pretty clear that, you know, if there's merits, we weren't expecting people just to endlessly send in iterations of these things, just simply because of the prejudicial issue. It's easier to manage that by an interim.
It is, and in a sense, the counsel's hand had to be played in response to that which was put up in closing. So provisions having been put up in closing that the council considered was worthy of consideration, the wording put forward now is sought to capture those. So if you start from the objective down, that developed following the joint witness statement. Mr. Anderson had a go at it. Part of that seemed sensible, so that has been further developed and put forward in to a version that is now put up by the council. And I think the same approach had then been adopted to the relief on the two topics. And I've viewed the case for the TAs and the case for Trustpower as having been sustained cases with direct factual evidence in relation to, in the TA's case, specific schemes, and in Trustpower's case, its interest in hydroelectricity generation, such that there was perhaps merit in continuing to explore whether the drafting being pursued was appropriate. And on that basis, the drafting was proffered as a suggestion of how that might come down. Obviously, the drafting is not perfect in terms of either of those matters, but it was put forward, in a sense, on the same basis as drafting by other council has been put forward. I think the difference that arises here is that it just so happens that Mr. De Pelsmaker and Ms. King are here, possibly for other reasons, and the court has been assisted by hearing essentially an independent planner's view on drafting that has been put forward. So,
Okay. So, Mr. Winchester's suggestion is, if Mr. De Pelsmaker prefers his relief is over this version, he may say so. That'll obviate the need for any cross examination. Is that what you're suggesting? Court then may take the reply in and consider, is there something there that the court can work with, if you like, and if it can work with it, and then issue an interim?
Well, I think that is my position, subject, of course, to the fact that everyone else agrees. Because as soon as someone crosses, I'm going to want to cross.
Yeah. Would it assist in coming to your eventual, your positions, if you have what the court's views are on this?
Yes, I think it would. So insofar as the court can use Mr. De Pelsmaker as the testing ground to express some thoughts.
Oh, I'm not going to test it with Mr. De Pelsmaker. Right. I'll just give you my thoughts. How about that?
Yes.
Where this fails is plan architecture. It just solidly fails on the plan architecture. And I can put up the notes that, we've played with it, we can't get it to work. But that's, we haven't had enough of a play because we've been looking at other things as well. So I can put up those notes and you can tell me what you think. If there's to be, it's more an issue for community water supply than it is an issue for hydro. Somewhere along the line, I think we can see a route through for hydro, at least for existing permits. But that is, again, what Naitahu says, which is no. And we may get to a no result if we cannot make any of this work and it just becomes far too difficult. It'll probably be six-year consent, new and replacement. That's what it's going to be. So we can give you what, we can reflect back on the architectural issues and then you can tell us how you wish to proceed. How about that? Okay. So I'm not quite sure whether I sent that. Did I send that to you? So we'll just flash that up on the screen. So what you're going to get is my notes. Just roll down to the first policy. And can we move the page across to the right-hand side so you can grab the policy, grab the note. Is that going to fit on one page? Can you just reduce the writing a little bit? Okay. Cool. Right. Okay, first issue. First issue with what's been written here. So firstly, this is a policy 2.2 which applies to extend duration. A policy applies to an extended duration consent. How an application, and in particular, how an application which is to consider an extended duration, how an application to extend durations is to be considered. That's as I understand it in terms of the exception. Applications for community water supplies, merits-based assessment, for new community water supplies, a merits-based assessment under the operative plan. There's no presumption that the effects of the activity on the environment are acceptable in terms of that operative water plan, that I think they're fully discretionary, or an RDA, they can be declined for a new permit. So that's your context. It's a policy applying to an extended duration, and how the application for the extended duration is to be considered. That's the context. So the first issue with your matters in paragraph one is that these don't actually address how the extended duration is to achieve the exception of the objective. The matters read as if they were entry conditions to an RDA rule, or if they were matters particularly relevant to working up some consent conditions, I thought. So they look like entry conditions. It's not policy. It's not telling me anything about the how. So issue two is dealing with that related issue. Is the policy addressing the circumstances where there may be an increase in scale and duration of the take and use of fresh water? And then it's probably redundant, I've also said it, and if so, what are those circumstances? So is that policy actually addressing the circumstances where there may be an increase, and how is that increase to be addressed? Or is this policy just simply that there is... No, sorry, I've actually done this in a rush. Are the circumstances simply that the application... Yeah, are the circumstances which you're driving at here is that you've got an application that is addressing all of those matters of discretion in the RDA rule and is proposing a management plan that sets out procedures to secure the outcomes of those discretionary matters, which outcomes can then be picked up by a condition of consent. So you've got a bunch of matters in the RDA rule, things that have to be done by an applicant. If this was to work at all, and I really am struggling with this, but how you look at an application for extended duration, there's no... So you've got the outcome is an extended duration for community water supplies. How is that achieved? That's achieved because we have a policy that's requiring, at least in relation to replacement consents, a lot more work to be done by territorial authorities than what has been done in the past. All of that work presently is set out in the matters of discretion. So you still don't have anything in this policy about, well, what are the outcomes of the increase in scale or the increase in duration. More it's to do with that you've got a policy that is about importing a whole bunch of new considerations which are not in the operative plan. Anyway, all that work's done, and there are outcomes from that or recommendations made as a consequence of that work, which then get picked up in a management plan, water management plan, which then is setting, which is the water management plan itself is going to be saying how those outcomes which are arising out of the matters of discretion are going to be achieved, I think is what it's doing. Anyway, that's as best as I could come up with what it's actually doing. The architecture presently is... There's no architecture. We don't know how you're going to secure an outcome of extended duration other than we think you're going to be doing a lot more work than hitherto has been done under the operative plan. That work is set out in the matters of discretion. Whether they're correctly set out in the matters of discretion and should have become matters of policy, that's probably where that might go. Which I know was one of the ideas that Ms. Irving, you had, but you hadn't actually worked up any provision to have a look at, but it was certainly, I think, one of the ideas that you flagged. So as best as we understand it, it's a plan architecture problem, but it's problematic. And it's a novel approach, in as much as we don't actually know what the outcomes for the environment are. But why, if it was, if, if, why it's more palatable than new is at least with a replacement. You know probably from long-term consents exactly what the effects of those activities are, including down into the end use, which is where regional council's pursuing it. So you already know that. And in a way, by increasing duration, what you're actually doing is not increasing the scale of effects, but actually limiting it. Because you're no longer just saying 35-year consent, do with it what you like. You are now addressing the matters of discretion that start to say, look, territorial authorities, you're not going to get these long-term consents and do with it what you like. You are going to have to start to ask the population to adopt water-saving measures, for example. So the duration's actually going potentially to a lesser scale of effects. And that seems to me is what those matters of discretion are doing, even though there might be a greater population base. Should it be picked up here? I don't know. Certainly should be thought about somewhere in a land and water plan, because the thinking by Mr. Twos, and it was, I guess, initiated by the court, is great thinking. But the architecture is not here yet. Can it be? Don't know. That was my thinking.
On that basis, I'm content, provided Mr. De Pelsmaker answers in the affirmative about his the evidence before the court, to not question him on this drafting exercise.
And if that's, you know, you can do that, and if it's an indication of the court that the court's not minded to go in this direction in a surprise final decision, I think firmly no. I think there are some architectural issues here, some fairly significant ones. Mm.
Well, that does assist and provide considerable reassurance, Your Honour. So.
It may be that the court thinks there's, you know, it can be saved, but yeah, but that would be an interim, and it wouldn't be, you know.
Yes, and I guess in that respect, parties would then have the opportunity for comment.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I wasn't suggesting we draft, but anyway, it would be maybe we do, maybe we don't, but it would be an interim.
I see. Okay. Well, I guess it's too early to tell exactly what that would look like, and indeed what procedures the court would build in around that. So, I'm content. Possibly because it's Mr. Moore who's been asking the questions, for him to ask the questions of Mr. De Pelsmaker about his evidence.
Whether he is happy with this approach or whether he prefers his own.
It's a pretty simple question, I'll always be able to object to the question, but I think it's appropriate that Mr. Moore asks it. Given that he's been asking the questions, and if I ask it, then it potentially runs.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yep.
Prejudice.
Anybody else want to be heard before we throw it back?
I don't think so. I'm
content. You don't want to. Okay. Do you wish to cross examine or not on this?
I'm in two minds. In some ways, I feel that it would be useful for the court, I suppose, to undertake its analysis of is there an outcome here and an interim decision on that, because I think we could spend a considerable amount of time today going backwards and forwards with witnesses, running the risk of prejudice to other parties and extending the hearing. And it'll be for naught. So that conversation, if it were to take place, might be more efficient, having had an interim decision from the court saying, yes, there could be a carve-out here, we need some drafting. I'm just conscious that the hearing's gone on.
I know, it has. And
at what point do we just stop?
Yeah, I agree. And community. I think community takes are causing legal issues for the court in terms of how they're advanced, and are causing drafting issues for the court. But as a matter of interest, do you agree with the proposition that the matters of discretion are actually going to reducing the scale of potential effects?
Yes, I think, because the first policy up there, 10A2.2, is of course directed at the applications for new consents.
I know. And
which would be fully discretionary.
Yeah.
So the matters of discretion, which flow out of the restricted discretionary rule, only apply in relation to those replacement permits.
Yeah.
And I think in that context, yes.
The
matters of discretion are focused on reducing
scale of effects.
Scale and encouraging efficiency and all of those things. The genesis of this, the problem, is, I think, as we talked about before, where the, as was set out in the evidence from Ms. Muir and Ms. McGurr, where there are existing schemes that are effectively being augmented.
I know exactly what the problem is. I know what the problem is, but we just haven't got any. We've yet to get a solution.
Yeah, and I suppose if we take the Luggett example, I think that we talked about previously. There's sort of two parts to it. It's the relocation of the take of the water, which would
from a water body to a water body.
Say, from a surface water body to a groundwater body in that instance. And that would be a discretionary application. So the effects of that move get considered fully. The idea of incorporating the water management requirements in there is, as you say, to try and reduce and improve the efficiency and all of those types of things. So there's a combination of things happening in that context. Perhaps I'm loathe to suggest another option, but maybe consideration needs to be given to consents that are replacing a scheme, but that still creates the difficulties around assessing effects from a potentially different water body.
Yeah, it does. And I don't know.
I think that in the drafting that I suggested for the policy, I had tried to bring the elements of water management into the policy itself and to try and give that steer around efficiency and so on, and that being the outcome that the policy was seeking to achieve, and then the conditions follow from that.
So you prefer your own drafting is what you're saying?
Yes.
Yep. Oh, fair enough.
And I think, the challenge that I have with what's been proposed by Mr. Moore is, it's an extremely narrow carve-out focused on the schedules.
They're entitled to do that. It's a different issue.
Yeah. But I think, and that was going to be some of the questions that I would have answered, but I think... Yeah, there's perhaps an earlier question that needs to be answered perhaps by the court. You know, understand the different positions, I think.
None of this is easy.
It's not.
It's not been made any easier. For replacement consents at least, and I know that I've just bundled all of the notes under the 10A 2.2, and some of the notes do more...
better
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It relates to both of them.
It relates to
both. It doesn't matter where you put your notes.
So for replacement consents, and this is perhaps the take-home message, is that you might be wanting a longer duration, but what you're proposing is a lesser scale of effects.
Yes.
A lesser scale, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, none of that's been picked up anywhere. Yeah.
I mean,
that sounds like an outcome. Well, it actually sounds like a different objective. An increase in scale. It sounds like actually starting at the starting board. Yeah.
Well, maybe, but there's always that problem about what sort of reduction are we talking about here? We had that.
Oh, we don't.
Over-degradation
no,
at one point.
There's
it?
No reduction per se. It's all about the communities doing better themselves, you know, in terms of water storage and so forth, and more efficient use.
These are they're really hard issues.
Well, they are hard issues, but they, yeah, that... Anyway, I won't say anything more. So, Ms. Dixon?
Your Honour, I don't think I've got anything to add. The conversation we've had with Mr. Winchester very much reflects the discussion we were having outside over lunch. I think we're now heading in the right direction.
Were you heading?
Sorry?
Which? Yeah, in the right direction.
I don't mean substantively, but I mean in terms of the procedure that we're adopting, that we don't cross examine
on this. I mean, but you just... If there's something that we can make of it, we will issue an interim. But if we're, you know, but that then throws the whole drafting issue back on the court to even conceptualise that there might be a route through. And if there's a route through, say what that route is, and then say, draft it this way. Or the court might just say, can't see the wood for the tree, can't actually see the route. In that case, we'll go with, the answer's likely to be no.
I'd be concerned that the court substantively wanted an outcome, but felt that that couldn't be achieved because the drafting was getting in the way. We must be able to achieve a drafting outcome that fits with the position the court wants to adopt.
Well, think you must, but we've been at this 2.5 months and we're not there yet.
Yes, I agree. But that is how we end up with interim decisions and another round of...
But can you afford an interim decision,
well,
I wonder?
I agree. I was a little interested in the proposal that you floated this morning of a minute of some kind with some direction for a response.
I mean, that was when we were thinking it was easy, but
I was wondering if that was if the court wanted to discuss
that
this.
Then throws the drafting back on the court.
Well, no, I was actually thinking that if the court wanted to discuss Mr. Moore's drafting further with Mr. De Pelsmaker.
We have satisfied ourselves that there are architectural issues.
Yes.
We're not satisfied. We are not satisfied with Mr. Twos's drafting because for replacement consents, well, it's just business as usual. You know, there's no, that we could see that there's very few things that require, district councils to do differently, or maybe we just haven't got down into the tin tacks of it. They just had to be operating within the historic use, however that's defined. Yeah? Not business as usual?
No, I picked up on a query from your court about that, I think, was it on Friday? I'm losing track of time. And checked that with Mr. Twos, and the matters of discretion that he'd set out in that rule were to apply to all permits, replacement and new. So the water management regime was to apply to the replacement permits as well.
Oh, we haven't picked that up. In our reading, we haven't picked that up, but anyway, that's good to hear because it was like, what?
I think in paragraph E it talked about for replacement permits, there were a list of things, but those were to pick up on existing conditions in existing permits that perhaps needed to be rolled over, the likes of participating in an allocation committee if there was one and so on. So those were extra requirements.
Okay, all right. We'll think about it, and we'll think about issuing a minute, but it won't be... and because we could pick up the minute and then have people do something to coincide with the proposed RPS timetable. Not that anyone wants to come back. But it'll give at least everybody a breather to be thinking about what is the outcome. There's an exception for at least maybe replacement consents, but maybe not. You know, because some parties are opposing that. But if there was something for replacement consents, there's an outcome there that they can have a longer duration. How are you going to achieve that? You're going to achieve that because you are going to start to work on lessening the scale of your effects and your demand for water. That's what some of the tourist matters are dealing with. And I haven't gotten further than that. And I suppose if there is an outcome about lessening the scale of effects generally, that's your outcome for your water management plan.
I think there may be a disjunct between the drafting that you sent out originally and how it ended up landing in terms of what we now have in front of us. And that, I think, may have been an issue because this has all gone on in a very short time frame and a lot of work being done at night and in weekends. And I think that's potentially a problem with...
You mean
what
we're
now dealing with?
Was that Mr.
The drafting.
Mr. Tweeds or
something? No, the document that you sent to the council and everybody else, presumably.
I haven't read
that.
I wasn't meant to read that.
Friday night. And which we got it. We got on Monday.
The options that we talked about in the court on Friday.
Yeah. Started out with evolution and then it sort of carried on from there, So I think some of this may have, some of the things that we're grappling with now may have been people trying to get something together in a very short period of time without perhaps checking back with planning witnesses and things like that too.
I wonder whether sufficient evidence has been given in order that the court can make a decision or an interim decision on the substantive issue before we dip back into drafting again, because it strikes me we are quite some ways apart as between the council and its limited exception for scheduled water, community water supply schemes, and my friend who's, as I understand it, seeking a broader response to community water schemes more generally.
Mm.
And in terms of landing the drafting for each of those two options in light of the challenges which have been highlighted this morning, it may well be that my council says actually that's a step too far in terms of the challenges it's now presenting.
Mm. Fair enough, because there's the NITA who no.
Yes. Fish and Game no.
Yeah.
To both.
So there's a no response that needs to be decided.
Yes.
There is the, on the other end, community water supplies, TAs want at least 15-year consents for both new and replacements.
Yes.
So, and not limited to schemes. It could be anything new or to be replaced. Is that's what you're wanting? Not listed to any schedule that's been put up.
Yeah, I mean, that's the position that was advanced in closing. And what I can say is there are concerns about how very limited the council's final position is.
There's concerns about what?
Very limited the scheduling option is. Mm. And that really goes to, I think, the issues that I did raise in closing submissions around the obligations that exist in the MPSUD and so on, and that in order for this plan change to give effect to that MPS to the extent that it can, the need for a pathway to be available. And so the council's position is that a pathway needs to be available. What I suspect is that if the only thing on the table was the schemes that had been specifically discussed in evidence, they would rather that than nothing.
I don't know. You need to take instructions about that. But am I right in thinking that the three options for the court are as follows? TAs want 15-year consents for all permits, including both new and replacement permits. So that's one. Fish and Game Ngāi Tahu want 6-year durations for all permits, which is new and replacements. That's two. Mr. Winchester, that's right, isn't it? Yep. And then the alternative course, it's actually four courses. There's another course which is 6 years for new and 15 years for replacement. So that's another course. And we're differentiating between the effects that we know and the effects that we don't know. And then the last one seems to be the one from the Regional Council, which is 15 years, all permits, provided those permits are on a listed schedule. Schedule 10A.5. So whether they're replacement or whether they're new, it doesn't matter. If they're on the schedule, that's what the provisions are limited to.
Have I got it right?
I believe so, yes.
So in that case, I guess we'll make a decision and it may well be an interim unless, I guess, we get the all or the nothing positions in.
When you were going through them, you did point out that Ngāi Tahu were opposed to, forget which option
Ngāi Tahu's
one below.
Yeah.
But my understanding of your closing yesterday was you were opposed to, was it the third?
Yes.
Third option.
Yes. So it's essentially any. The only carve out is stranded assets.
Yeah.
For a 6-year duration.
Sure.
And so, otherwise, it's just a duration issue.
Okay, thank you. And I don't know where Fish and Game, I think, that they were sort of...
It doesn't matter, but we've got the... Yeah. Seems to me we've got the four corners of the decisions which have been asked, and we'll release the decision on that basis. Right.
Perhaps just to round that out, I do address in my closing submissions the issue of scope to capture new within... Plan Change 7, and that may inform the available options. And I, for reasons I'll come to, submit there isn't scope to regulate new within the body of Plan Change 7.
Okay, so even though you've put up the wording?
The wording was only controlling the duration of new
that's a slightly different issue.
Yes. Which may not be able to be overcome by the drafting.
Yeah.
And that I'm very alive to that issue.
Okay. All right. Not a problem. All right. No, that's fine.
Now, I wonder whether I should still ask Mr. De Pelsmaker the question that my friend is awaiting me to ask.
Is it necessary if the court's just going to make a decision?
Probably not, ma'am.
Yeah, okay.
Given the lack of appetite from various council elders to sort of go down that path, I don't think it really matters anymore.
Okay, all right, so we'll turn now to deem permits.
Yes. Tentatively one step forward. Right. Now, you've each participated in the joint witness conferencing that took place on the 2nd and the 5th of July and produced the joint witness statement with respect to priorities. Now, do you want me to take them through this document or proceed to questions on
this? I'll
just
proceed to questions unless anybody prefers to do otherwise. Nobody? Okay.
So I don't have any... I don't have any questions.
Good. And you so had them confirm the document?
They did confirm document when they were sworn. Sorry.
All right. Anybody got any questions for the witnesses on their provisions? Mr. Page? Ms. Dixon? And you're not interested in this, are you? No, you're neutral. Okay, so it supports questions.
Sorry, Ms. Williams. Matter of clarification only, I think, Your Honour, and that is simply that if we can turn, please, to Appendix 1 and if I look at the controlled activity rule 10A311, it's actually over on the third page of the controlled activity. So it's the matter of control D, subpara.
Oh, so which page are you on?
I'm on the, so it's the controlled activity in the Appendix 1, so 10A.3.1.1, but actually over on
no,
the.
No, look, I'm sorry.
Sorry, Your Honour.
Which? Oh, sorry, this document. Okay.
Yes. 10A3.1.1. So it's got 10A.3 rules at the top. Then we go into controlled activity. It's actually on the top of the third page where we've got the continuation in blue, little II. And we've got reference there to a contact management, and I'm just assuming that plan should be inserted after that.
That is correct.
And I think there's a similar error.
Yeah.
So the full phrase should be requiring the provision of a contact management plan to the consent authority. And the same over the page, two pages, top of, again, D, little II. Again, that should be contact management plan.
That is correct.
Thank you. That's the only matter that I wanted to clarify.
So my questions are in relation to your policy. Now you've got the policy appearing as under policy 10A.2.1 and it is matter number E. Now, as I understand it, deem permits may or may not include rights of priority. Correct?
That is correct.
But if they don't contain a matter of priority, nonetheless, people are going to be applying to replace those deemed permits.
That is correct.
And when I read this, and I'm sure this is not intended, but where I read this policy, you've got a policy which is to avoid granting resource consents that replace deemed permits or water permits, except where the application is to replace a deemed permit that was subject to a right of priority. And so when I read it, it seemed to be particularly interested, the policy is particularly interested with a policy with a deemed permit that is subject to a right of priority. In other words, it was actually narrowing the group of deemed permits which are going to be up for replacement. And that's not correct.
That is not correct. And initially, the clause was written, E, clause E was written where the application is to replace a deemed permit that was subject to a right of priority. We removed the where because it's in the chapeau of the policy, if I recall well.
It is.
But by removing it, we actually changed the meaning of the policy. So,
so what I thought was, because you don't want a subset of deemed plot permits, you want everything. This is actually a standalone policy. It's easier addressed as a standalone policy, which is how I conceived it in the first place when I reflected back the thing the court's drafting. Is that?
You're right, okay. Yes. And in this case, it's essential that you kind of put the where or the if in there. But it would work not very well with how the rest of the policy is set up.
I agree. It's a separate policy.
It would read better. Yes.
It would read better. Okay.
And you actually, it would be more accurate.
And more accurate. So it reads better. It's more accurate as a separate policy. That's good, because then I looked at it again, and my policy starts where. So, so that's the first thing. The second thing is, the words that read, cease taking water upon receipt of notice, and it's particularly the latter words, receipt of notice. That's a method which you would leave for a rule. So it's not a policy as to how to achieve an objective, but it's more a method. And then in the rules, you actually pick it up again and again, which is fair enough because it's a method, rules are methods. But I was thinking that it actually makes easier sense, or it's easier to read without introducing methods into your policies. Agree?
I agree. It's it is in the rule itself, and so.
Which is where you'd expect it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then because I still quite like the court's drafting and Mr. Page's drafting, I wanted to reflect back another version of the policy which achieves what you want it to achieve in terms of having the word insufficient and the focus being on the downstream permit holder and the flow at the downstream permit holder's point of take. So I've got some suggested wording which may be just easier on the eye to read, but still achieving what you want. And Jaron, can you put that up on the screen? If you haven't got it, I can send it again. It'll be a separate document, but I can send it to you if it's easier. I'm just going to send it to Dahlia again. And I've just sent that to Dahlia, who will send it to Jaron. And so when the court puts up its suggested wording, think about also the active and inactive language. I think you're using very passive and inactive language, and the court's trying to use more active language, which in part is why I think our version is easier to read and understand. Have you got that through? Yes. Okay. What we're putting through requires just slightly different definitions, but again, without affecting the change, it should not change what you're wanting to achieve. But you may disagree with us, so that's okay. All right, here we go. So that's yours, which I've made some notes to myself about. And then court's alternative. So, Jaron, if we could just pull up the page to see the court's alternative. And instead of saying a downstream permit, you might say the downstream permit. We're not talking about the applicant agrees because, it's an OSIA provision. I don't know that the policy necessarily has to be OSIA, but it gets picked up in terms of what the application's about.
I think, yeah, it kind of works. I kind of looked at what are the elements.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
that are
elements,
in the policy that we drafted.
Yep.
And they're all there, except the reference to upon receipt. But we already discussed that, so that can be taken out.
Okay.
But yeah, I think it works.
Okay. Then no change to your entry conditions, and no change to your matters of control. They looked fine. And then your definitions. And in actual fact, I didn't know what you were trying to achieve other than perhaps surreptitiously saying that 124 applies. But I didn't actually know what you're trying to achieve here. And I got a bit lost. And so I had my own definitions. But you might want to talk about your definition, a water permit with a higher right of priority. I really did not know what... Like you say, placeholder either date of the decision. Is that like the court's decision or some other decision? I wasn't sure what you were getting at. And then you have this random that, which I suspect is an editing issue. You've
sorry.
Got a,
yes, yes. Sorry, yeah. That needs to be taken out. So there's a few elements. One was it would be... We thought it would be good to define what a right of priority is as well.
Mm.
And we encapsulated that in the first sentence. The other thing that we tried to do was to have in the definition reference to a date, because a date is important.
For what reason? Because now we've moved away from the 18th of March date, which I thought was a really clever solution to a potential problem under section 124. So now we've gone to a different date, and I just didn't understand the explanations.
So the date has moved to either the date of the decision from the Environment Court.
Oh, so it is our decision? Okay.
Yes. Or the 30th of September, because if you work with a date in the past, it doesn't actually achieve anything, because under the notified, any decisions that would be granted prior to the decision of the Environment Court, you wouldn't be able to bring down the priorities. So we wanted to get the date as close as possible to either 30th of September or the decision. Putting it in the past creates a risk that you're reactivating priorities where they no longer exist or where they haven't been brought down into previously issued consents. Putting them past the expiry dates of deemed permits, the 31st of October, that also does not work.
So I've just put the date in the past, we've got a risk to reactivate our priorities on a resource consent.
Yes.
And then what was your second reason?
And the second reason is that until we have a decision from the Environment Court on this plan change, we cannot actually bring down any priorities that are...
Of course you can. Because this... Why could you not? Why? What would preclude an applicant right now going... what would preclude that? This is not statute. This is creating a new method under a plan. What would preclude all of Pigburn amending their applications and saying, don't worry about the court. We get the general drift of, you know, of where this might go if there's a controlled activity. We'll amend our applications and we propose this condition. What would preclude that?
Well, my thinking was because the policy isn't in the notified version, so it doesn't have any legal...
Well, it doesn't, but nothing would stop a person doing it.
And you've got volunteering it. Yeah, and you've got the operative plan, which have those matters, which I think Mr. Page discussed.
Mm.
So you have got the ability to bring them in.
Yeah, because this is stands in the shoes, or stands instead of a minimum flow and allocation regime, as you traditionally know it. So, but it is doing, it's regulating the taking as between extractors. That's what this is doing, and it has an incidental environmental benefit. So you don't have to wait for our, I wouldn't have thought you needed to wait for our decision.
I'm happy to stand corrected, but yeah, that was just my reasoning for putting it there. In light of that, as an alternative date, I still think that then the 1st of July or something close to the current date would be probably better than going back in time to the notification date, because none of the permits that have been issued since or before up until now have actually had priorities brought down.
1st of October, is that tied in with the 3 months?
That as well. Yeah. Well, the majority of the applications would come in on the 1st of July as well to make use of section 124.
Yeah.
The I didn't understand your explanation, paragraph 28A, Rome numerals 1. If a deemed permit has been replaced with a new permit, so by that I understand that to be a new resource consent, by the date of the court's decision or the 30th of September, and the old permit has been surrendered, why would you surrender an old permit, the old deemed permit? So I'm applying for replacement consent. As what, because it's still got time to run, so you'd have to surrender it? What's the story there? You're replacing it instead.
So under Roman 1, the deemed permit has been replaced.
Yep.
And the old deemed permit has been surrendered. That's the scenario
there. And it has been
there.
Surrendered.
Yeah. Yeah. In some cases, people ask for a replacement or have a new consent, but they hold on to their current deemed permit.
And use it.
And use it until the 1st of October.
Okay, right, I'm with you now.
And that's why I made a distinction between those two. So that's the second scenario, Roman 2, where people have, I think an example might be the Lindis where, no.
Yeah, no, Lindis is a good example of what you're saying.
Yeah.
And then your Roman numeral 3 is, your assumption is 124 applies after 1 October. That's what that's about?
Correct. Yep.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I understand what I know what you're saying. I didn't particularly follow it. Still don't. I'm going to put up a couple of suggested edits. So if we just keep on going, Jaron, I'll go back up maybe. Stop. Okay. So court's version downstream. So in our edits, which we've just put up on the screen. Sorry, Jaron, can you just go back up to get subtitle? Yeah, stop there. Deemed permit, downstream permit with a higher right of priority is defined as a deemed permit that is subject to a deemed conditioning entitling the permit holder to require another deemed permit holder to cease taking water was kind of what I thought you were getting at. And deemed permit has the same meaning in section 413, including any rights of priorities. I don't get your date thing. So I just don't get it. So then I avoided dates altogether. So
we did discuss the date quite a bit. And the starting point for a date was we need to replicate.
No, you don't.
Sorry.
I know you're hanging on to the language of replication.
No, that's we need to carry over the system as it existed now.
But it's a different system. What you're doing is requiring people to cease. Anyway, that's the side, neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't have a date, what's the problem?
I was just thinking of that. In the test I did, you just remove any that have been replaced. So in the test I did under, I think, 35, I just removed any deemed permit
that had been replaced.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if I could be corrected by Mr. De Palsmaker whether a date is relevant.
Sometimes it's useful to look at it with a fresh set of eyes, as you've done.
If you had no date, you could just round off what you've got by saying a right under a deemed permit, where that deemed permit has not been replaced by a resource consent. I don't know. Look, I'm just, it's confounding me what the date is doing. The fact that you have a date does not mean section 124 therefore applies. It either applies or it doesn't apply. You either want the court to make a decision on that point or you don't. You stay out of it.
I actually like what you were saying about where you just make reference to the fact that it hasn't been replaced by a resource consent. has not replaced. Is it replaced or? Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you can get. You don't need the date, and Ms. King's tested it without a date.
Yes. Well, I didn't realise I had, but I did.
Yes. Okay. And you could either redefine it. I'm not sure that we've got a perfect definition, or you can redefine it without the date, just the reference to the resource consent. The policy needs to be a separate policy, not a sub-policy, because it won't capture everybody that you're needing to capture. All right. And you could use more active language than passive language. And you're okay in principle with the court's drafting. It may or may not need improvement. That is with the policy, which we... Jaron, up a bit further. And more. Keep on going. All right, stop.
We're looking at policy. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
That's the policy. Yep. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Maybe can I add one thing? Just a definition of downstream.
Yeah.
My
definition was actually downstream permit holder with a higher right of priority. Yeah. I actually defined that.
Yeah. I just don't know if the downstream aspect was captured in the definition itself. If you could scroll down.
No, it's probably got it in the reverse. Oh, no, it is. Well, it was meant to be. So the downstream permit with a higher right of priority is defined as a deemed permit that is subject to a deemed condition, entitling the permit holder, so that's the downstream permit holder, to require another to cease taking. So the focus there is all on the downstream rights.
Yeah.
That's my thinking. Thoughts?
Could I have a look at it?
Yep.
Yeah? Can you scroll down a little bit? Bit more. And almost there. Yep. Oops.
That's it.
Yeah.
Could you say to require another upstream deemed permit holder to cease taking water?
Yeah.
Could say that.
That was a bit that was...
Yeah, you could say that. All right. Any questions arising?
Yes, I just wonder whether I might test the witness's understanding of the court's drafting in relation to 2 points that occur. The first relates to the policy, so if we can scroll up to the court's suggested
page.
Policy. Put the scroll down just a fraction, the court's alternative.
Yep.
Thank you. Now, the concept of notice has been taken out of the policy. So is there a risk that when you read this policy, the downstream permit holder... Let me get the upstream calls from it. The agreement to cease taking doesn't occur every time there's insufficient supply. It's only if there's insufficient supply and a notice has been given. So I had understood there were two quite important elements to the policy.
That is covered off in the entry condition.
Yeah.
The notice and insufficient supply.
Might there be circumstances where the policy applies absent the entry conditions into the RDA and the controlled activity?
Non-complying? Yes.
My question is simply, is the lack of reference to notice within the policy likely to cause any concerns when, for example, a non-complying activity application is being processed?
Well, in that case, you do miss the guidance or the direction given in the entry condition or, yeah, in the matters of control or discretion, so... Yeah, in those cases, it might be useful to have it in.
So that would be the only situation, because the RDA and the controlled activity are picking up the notice requirement on entry.
Correct.
Might that entry condition be added to the non-complying activity to resolve that problem? Rather than bringing the concept of notice into the policy.
As an entry condition into the non-complying activity.
You'd then need a prohibited activity drop-down, though it gets clunky.
I'm just at a loss to know why you'd even need it anyway. But given that it's a method, why is it important in this policy?
Because an applicant for a non-complying activity might then be subjected to a condition that requires them to stop taking whenever there is insufficient supply, irrespective of whether notice has been given or not.
Just pause here a second. It was so repetitive. We were just repeating.
I understand that.
It's not great drafting.
It's not, but it's... We've grappled with the drafting of where to put the notice, and it's been in and out and in and out of the policy.
Okay, right. I understand what you're saying.
It's only at the non-complying activity that the risk arises. The second question relates to the court's suggested definition, and it comes back to this question of timing and whether a date's useful or important or neither. And my question is the consequence of the court's drafting that all previous rights of priority that may have been surrendered will be resurrected and brought down onto replacement permits? So is that perhaps what the reference to a date, or it was one of the mischiefs that the reference to the date was seeking to avoid?
How can you resurrect, if you've already replaced your deemed permit with a resource consent, how can you resurrect your deemed permit?
If you scroll down to the definitions...
decision we made a prohibited activity category that didn't allow them to decide they were going to use the races that were to be disestablished over time. That's just one example.
Does it matter when the deemed permit condition was in place. So looking at this definition, let's say you had a deemed permit that was surrendered in 2010 and replaced with an RMA permit. Would this definition pick that up? Because of course the deemed permit being replaced will still have been subject to potentially that priority. I guess the concern that
you can have concerns, but I don't understand the drafting as if that's my problem. So how are you going to resolve that?
Perhaps in the first instance by understanding the effect that the date was having.
But we've received an... look, I don't understand it. At least in part it was a workaround to say that the court is wrong on 124, which is not impressive, putting it in this way.
Yeah. Now, my understanding is that that was not the purpose of the date having
been
inserted.
Well, if it's not the purpose, I still don't know what the purpose is. I just don't understand it.
The purpose was to... have the priorities or the system of priorities continue at a certain date and make sure that we're not working backwards, not carrying over rights of priorities where consents have been, where deemed permits have been replaced. So it might, I'm just thinking out loud, that in case... Instead of using a date, we bring in the notion that the deemed permit must, that it can only apply to deemed permits that have not been replaced yet by resource consent. But I'm not sure if that's captured in now.
Could that be... in the current definition, as in the JWS at 27, where you just take out the placeholder section and just say replaced by a resource consent, which I think was brought up earlier, which entitled, and then you don't need a date, but you refer that you can't assess anything that's already been replaced or bring forward anything that's been replaced.
Well, that's what we discussed earlier. And then the question then becomes, well, what, for example, if you're Lindis, and so you have been replaced, but you haven't yet surrendered those consents, you're still able to use them until 1 October of this year.
Yeah.
Is there a problem?
Well, in those cases, in the Lindis, if the consents... that would have been replaced, if those consents were subservient, then you wouldn't be able to impose that right of priority on any new consent that is granted. I'm not sure if I made myself clear here. In the Lindis, because the consents have been replaced, but the deemed permits are still exercised, we cannot continue those priorities. Does that make sense? We cannot make those permits, those new consents, subject to a higher right of priority.
But there'll be no applications before the council to do that, so...
From recollection, there were one or two still that were outside. Maybe not deemed permits, no. But in case, if there were, that would be the effect of that.
Okay. That's probably as far as I can explore that.
Sorry, say it again. I didn't understand the question answer. And I didn't understand the answer.
Sorry, I'm just kind of. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm struggling to comment. I don't think it matters, actually. You simply cannot.
Problem that you need to be sorting. I mean, like, take the improbable Linda's doing something else now, coming in as controlled activity, say. So Linda's has applied and has secured replacement resource consents. Hasn't surrendered its deemed permit and won't, as I understand it, until the 1st of October. Is that right, Mr. Page?
Yes. They'll just expire.
So they don't even need to surrender them, they'll just expire. So that's one point of difference. Don't need to surrender, may just expire. In the unlikely event, that Lindis comes in and wants a controlled activity, could Lindis, having got its replacement consent, then apply for a controlled activity instead? You know, like all of them. It could.
It could.
And then.
But then they would have. Wouldn't they?
I know, it's a preposterous example, but then they would have actually have. Yeah.
I wonder whether I can describe the situation that I had in mind when I was thinking about the dates and why they might or might not be important. Mm. So let's say you had a deemed permit and that deemed permit was replaced with an RMA consent 2 years ago.
Mm.
And that deemed permit previously had a right of priority, but as part of its replacement application, the consent holder agreed not to pursue its right of priority. So then other permit holders in the catchment that were historically subservient to that deemed permit will have to put forward applications now saying that they will be subservient to that permit holder because they were the holder of a permit. And
you mean the one who's got the resource consent?
Yes.
Not subject to anything?
Correct. Well, it might now have a minimum flow attached to it, but they didn't have a right of priority.
So why do you think they're going to be subservient to? Why do you think the deemed permits, whoever's are left, will be subservient to a resource consent, former deemed permit?
Yes, because subservient one being replaced is a deemed permit.
Yeah.
And it is subject to a deemed condition. The subservient permit still has the condition on it.
No, it doesn't. Sorry, you've got a deemed permit.
So the one that's the one that's been replaced, think of that, and I'm going to use the word dominant, but I'm not suggesting...
Is that upstream or downstream?
It'll be a dominant downstream.
So it's a downstream permit, yeah.
Yes. So that's been replaced with an RMA permit.
Yeah. Has been or will be?
Has been.
Has been replaced?
Yes.
So the person isn't going on with the deemed 15 fermer that's been surrendered, or
yes,
so they don't have any option to go back.
It hasn't been surrendered yet, because
they might have an option to resurrect their deemed fermer for another application process.
I'm not so worried about what the dominant downstream person does. It's the subservient upstream deemed permit holder that, when they come to replace their permit, would have to agree that the dominant downstream permit holder still has priority over them.
Why? If I am, and I suppose this is some of the problems that perhaps Ms King was saying, if person A was formerly a deemed permit holder and had with priority over everybody else in the catchment, has applied successfully for a replacement consent, has gained a replacement consent subject to whatever conditions, then they're out of the ranking tables. And so then the next person, they're just out, they're taken out, as it were.
That's the dominant.
Yeah.
But this definition's applying to the subservient.
Oh, you mean the court? Sorry, I thought, I think Tom, Mr. De Posmaker was talking about something else. So you're talking about...
We were looking at a different definition.
Mr. De Posmaker is actually talking about his own definition and how to make it work better.
Sorry, I was working with the courts. Yeah, the courts one, which I think is still picking up the...
I think we were looking at the definition in paragraph 27.
Yeah.
Sorry. And I think where we landed was that perhaps we could take out the words by and then placeholder, blah, 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 up until the closed brackets, take that out. And happy to stand corrected on that, but I was just drawing out the scenario that you just talked about, and I could not see an issue with just having replaced there.
By resource consent.
By resource consent.
Replaced would resolve that issue.
Yes.
And you could achieve the same permit, but the same outcome with the court's wording by adding some words to the end of deemed permit, such as that has not been replaced by an RMA permit.
So this is on... this is my definition of deemed permit?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you're suggesting that you could do the same thing as by saying...
So you'd add some additional words at the end...
A resource consent.
Where that deemed permit has not been replaced by a resource consent.
You're doing the first definition or the second definition?
Second one, deemed permit.
So deemed permit has same meaning as 4 and 3 and includes any rights or priorities that are deemed conditions of the deemed permit.
Resource consent.
Okay. So, very good. All right. So, I think whether it's Mr. De Posmaker, your edit to paragraph 27 is to delete the words after. Commencing with placeholder to the end of the sentence. Is that right? Delete all of those words and replace it with by a resource consent.
From replaced by a resource consent.
Full stop.
Yep. Yes. It depends on what you want to capture within the definition. Mm. If it's just a definition of a right of priority, then you would stop there.
It's the higher point.
If you want the higher in there, then you have to go a little bit further and add which entitled the permit holder to exercise a priority to water over the applicant.
Yeah, which I guess we were, rather than using the words exercise a priority, we had replaced those words by talking about what that priority did, which is, in our definition, which was to require another upstream deemed permit holder
to cease
taking water.
Yeah.
So kind of being very express about the nature of the priority that you're talking about. So that's why we've, rather than just say priority, because it's got more than one element, which we're not replicating, because we don't like that word, and actually we're not doing it. So then we try to express it in English, what it was, what element you were capturing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I'm following that, and in my mind I'm working with the definitions on the screen there.
Do you want me to flick through what I've written up, and we'll have a cup of tea?
Yes, and then there's one final concept that I want to explore on that, which I'll signal such that you might reflect on it. If you do add in the words that hasn't been replaced by a resource consent,
is this
by
to
when?
Ours, or is this to Mr. DePalsmakers?
It applies to both in terms of the concept, but if you don't have a date at which it's been replaced, might the last deemed permit that comes in to be replaced, so let's say all of the other ones have been replaced by RMA permits up to that point, does that mean that the last one doesn't have to give effect to or bring down the priority? And that's where the date might be important.
Well, if you're the last cab off the rank,
yes,
and all of the other deemed permits have been replaced already,
yes,
resource consent, subject to conditions, and presumably your independent commissioners did think about this issue of rights and impact on other people's rights.
Think of permits issued under Plan Change 7, so the controlled activity ones.
Oh, okay, under Plan
ones.
Change 7,
yes.
Not hitherto today. Okay,
no.
So under Plan
yes.
Change 7, if you are the last cab
the last
the
applicant,
rank,
and let's say you had previously been the subservient permit to 10 other ones in the catchment.
So are you talking there about rights of priority, first in, first served? Now that's what you were talking about?
No, just the wording of that hasn't been replaced by resource consent, because by that point in time, every other deemed permit would have been replaced by a resource consent issued under Plan Change 7.
True, but as I understood, the process for the council would be is to, for all those who wish to do this, look at it catchment, water body by water body. And whatever those priorities are, they must be written up somewhere else, like on somebody's deemed permit or some other record. And we're told, and we have to rely on this, that it's easily accessible.
Mm.
So it's not as if I'm the last application to be processed, my neighbours can gain me in some way that is inconsistent with those rights. Can't be done that way.
It shouldn't. That
shouldn't
occur.
That
I agree with that proposition. And my question is, does adding that wording on the end there actually have that effect? Without a date, so that hadn't been replaced by resource consent by, and I'll say 1 July 2021, so that's the date at which anything that had previously been replaced by resource consent falls away. It's the date by which all replacement applications need to have been lodged if 1-4 is to apply.
Why the original drafting of deemed permit was just simply echoing what was in the Act. So it's a deemed permit, including any rights of priority that are deemed conditions on deemed conditions on the permit. That's it. And then you've got the order or ranking relative to each other secured under the Act.
It may ultimately be that the date and also reference to replace consent proves to be too difficult, and everything that exists on the face of the permit simply is brought forward.
But I think isn't that what people are trying to do? Everything that is as on the face of the permit. Mr. Page, is that not right? So we're not recreating or doing any fancy footwork here.
It's the question of whether that has the effect of resurrecting priorities on permits that have been replaced in the preceding few years.
Well, let's just use Lindis as the example, the improbable example that, you know, they actually do want to come along and they do want to replace everything as control permits.
Maybe think about Lindis, but pick, say, one permit holder comes in.
Yeah.
Say the dominant permit holder.
Yeah.
Or one pathway in the range.
So one of the Lindis group breaks ranks. Thanks. Can't afford that gallery of balls. And I don't want to do this anymore. I want to do something different. Why would that not occur? Could that occur? Why would that not occur? So it's a question for Mr. Page.
The answer to the first question is easy, because the Honourable Court made it a prohibited activity.
Right.
But say it hadn't done that.
That's
one side.
But the second would be no, it couldn't. Because we're only dealing with the point past the 1st of October, and all priorities cease at the 1st of October unless that they've been replaced by some other species anyway. So it seems to me that the critical question is what priorities exist at the time that the consent's being considered by the consent authority, and that's simply a matter of fact at the time, and whether that gets carried forward past the 1st of October. So I think that I can understand my friend's concern.
What do you understand by the concern? What's the mischief?
Oh, well, if I go back to Lindis for a moment, one of the things that the court observed in the Lindis was a strange aspect to the way that primary allocation was defined, and the risk that if permits started before the expiry of the deemed permits, there might be some primary allocation overhang that somebody else could swoop in and apply for. And so the court's workaround for that problem was to say the consents that we grant don't commence until the 1st of October 2021, so that there would be no spearhead space in the definition of primary allocation. And I think my friend's concern is, well, given that the replacement consents have been granted but have not yet commenced, as at where we are right now, the priorities still exist. And someone could sweep in and seek to obtain a benefit from the fact that they may have a higher priority over somebody else as at today. But I just don't see how that's going to affect a decision that gets made. I mean, here we are in July, and by the time you get to issue your decision, we're so close to the 1st of October anyway. I just can't see how practically the concern would arise.
So was it a mischief about primary allocation and the availability? Because
no, it's in the example I explained of the person who had replaced their permit, say, 2 years ago, who had the benefit of the priority, so they had the higher right, they were essentially, they've obtained their replacement RMA permit in circumstances where they weren't going to keep that right moving forward. Suddenly they do keep that right, it's resurrected, because each of the subservient permit holders now has to agree to cease taking upon receipt of notice from them. So it's perpetuating their rights.
And so your concern, and actually you I think had a question about that. What then happens to the person who is king of the north with the highest right, and whether a condition comes down on them or not come down on them? And we didn't have in mind that they had already been replaced, but
that,
okay.
Yeah, so yeah. That's the situation, so where that person.
So you need to, yeah, and what would you do, Ms. King? So let you have a cup of tea and think about this. So okay, so then you've got Pigburn is your example, and we know that the King of the North is indeed permit number 3. I think you've in your map.
Yes.
That is your permit. The proposition is permit number 3, in fact, has been replaced by resource consent. Does permit number 4 and permit number 5, I think, in your map, are they sort of somehow subservient to permit number 3, who's been replaced, doesn't have a right of priority, has whatever the conditions are? Or does it next fall to the jostling just happens between permit 4 and permit 5, and permit 4 becomes the permit with the highest priority?
That's a
very
good question.
So that's your question, isn't it?
It is, and my question, and through the lens of the definitions that don't have a date in terms of how far they reach back.
And so the date that you think it should reach back into is either a court decision, or it doesn't sound like it's a court decision. It's the date of their actual replacement.
It could be the date that I had in my mind was 1 July as a date by which all the replacement applications had to be in.
Except don't we know that a number of replacement applications
still a number to come is the problem with that, which is why the date was stretched in that window through to the 30th of September to provide those people the last opportunity to get an application for a controlled activity in. They might not have the benefit of Section 124, even if it applies.
And so then in that case, does Mr. Page, what Mr. Page says makes sense, which is by the time you get a decision out of this court, which we thought we were going to be terribly efficient but now have some doubts about, it's looking like 30th of September anyway.
Yes, so that just might be the date.
That might just be the date, because after that date they've expired anyway, and then you've got some argument about
and
what to
do. Yeah, there's no suggestion that it should be anything after that date, because at that point in time it's known whether an application, it's known whether there was a deemed permit that hadn't been replaced.
Yeah, so. Well, after the 30th of September, if you have not applied to renew one way or t'other, Section 104 cannot apply because you just haven't got your application.
Yes.
So that's pretty easy. Yeah.
Yes. So that it may well be the answer to.
You think about. Do you want to think about that, Ms. King, now in terms of that application, and how that would work out in relation to Pigburn? Fact permit number 3 already has resource consent. So how does this then get worked out between the remaining 2?
Yes.
Any chance of somehow, does 4 and 5, I know you call them 4 and 5, but does 4 and 5, their rights are relative, go back to 3, or do 5 just simply take subject to 4's superior right?
So the key is that P3 or King of the Hill has been replaced, but their deemed permit hasn't yet been surrendered, which is, as I understand it, because these things haven't been surrendered necessarily. But anyway, the factual scenario is now
Okay,
the thing I'm worried about.
Okay. All rise.